WCBN-FM. Ann Arbor.
Let's start what we have come into the room to do. Right on. Here goes. One, two, three.
Good afternoon, Ann Arbor and the world. This is It's Hot in Here, and I am your co-host, Gina Gedham, and I am here.
Laura Smith.
Yes, we're excited to have Laura here. And who is our special guest for today?
We have an amazing special guest for today. It is going to be a trashy show, folks.
Trashy.
We've got Darshan Karwat. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah. Let's hear you say it.
Darshan Karwat.
Beautiful. Darshan is a UM doctoral student in engineering, specifically aerospace engineering. Mm-hmm. But he's not here to talk to us today about rocket science. We're more along the lines of a personal experiment that he's been doing for the last year. So we're going to get into that today.
Exciting.
Do you want to say anything else about yourself, Darshan?
No, I just, am a student of life, yes, and of the environment and of the culture that I'm in. And yeah, grew up in India, moved here a few years ago, experimenting, experiencing.
Beautiful. We're so glad to have you here today.
I like it.
Thanks.
Well, you might have noticed if you're in the Ann Arbor area that it is snowing today. There's snow on the ground. In the trees, covering.
But it's
the,
still hot in here.
It is still hot in here. Yes, we are still making sure that we get toasty. So perhaps in celebration of that, we should just go ahead and go to our first tune, which is Tom Waits' "You Can't Hold Back Spring."
You can never hold back spring. You can be sure I will never stop believing. The blushing rose, it will climb. Spring ahead or fall behind. The same dream every time. Baby, you can never hold back spring. And even though you've lost your way, the world is dreaming. Dreaming of spring. So close your eyes, open your heart to the one who's dreaming of you.
Right, you can't hold back spring, and you can't hold back the hotness of the show, particularly if you're in the WCBN studios
kind of
with
women.
Us.
Well, right. Thank you. Yeah, hot women.
We're doing all we can. Well, some of us. Who needs to brush your hair in today's modern world? Right. So, some news. Good news about light bulbs.
Let's hear it.
Yes. So many of us have heard that complex fluorescent light bulbs are lousy with mercury, but we've heard wrong. Apparently, in the last decade, reductions in the most used types of fluorescent lighting have decreased mercury content in the last decade, as I said, by 60 to 80%. That's pretty great.
That's pretty great.
And increasingly, people are recycling them.
Oh, finally.
Yes.
It's just not something we're used to, recycling light bulbs.
No, we're not. And sometimes it is a little tricky to find the right places to recycle things, and it takes a couple extra steps, but doesn't it feel good?
All right. We'll take small gains.
And I'm sure we're going to be learning a lot about waste and trash and small gains very shortly.
Yep, that's the theme of today. So yes. We're talking about waste today, and so the news that I wanted to bring up. So how's this for trashy? Change can start by changing your underwear, guys. To try to move us beyond coal, the Sierra Club has teamed up with a West Coast creative outfit called Pact. They're designing a line of underwear inspired by coal. Okay? Yes, coal. Their target audience is college students with the guts and perhaps pre-existing inclinations to run around in the nude. If this describes you and your friends, check out this latest project by the Sierra Club. I mean, this underwear is kind of a trip. It like looks like coal ash in multicolors. You can order a pair, get your friends together, and, you know, consider ordering in time for Earth Day, because I think they're really trying to get people together to run around in the nude in this, like, coal-inspired underwear, which is Earth Day on Friday.
Oh, we better order now.
So order now. The motto is kick ash.
Oh, I love that.
Start thinking beyond coal.
Hey, this just in, folks. Kat Superfisky has joined us in the studio. She has entered the building. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
I made it.
Woo. All right. So we're recycling light bulbs. We're buying coal-themed underpants. And there's a report that just listed the top 10 greenest states in America. Number one, Vermont, followed by New York, Washington, Oregon, Minnesota, California, Nevada, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Maine.
Where's Michigan?
I was just going to say, where's the Metten?
I think it has something to do with the declining auto industry and the bias, inherent bias of this report. But they're based on recycling rates, air and water quality, number of green buildings, number of green businesses, and per capita waste generation, emissions, water use, and energy use adjusted for climate. Great story.
Great story. We're not in it.
We're not in it. All right. So to get us excited about talking about trash, let's listen to a tune. This is the New York Dolls with their tune, Trash.
Trash.
One, two, three, four.
Trash. Oh, pick it up. Take that like no way. Trash. Better pick it up.
Spring fling, honey.
Trash! Pick it up. Take them lights away. Trash! Pick it up. Don't you take your life away. Trash! Pick it up. Don't you take my night away. Trash! Get it up. Don't you throw your love away. Trash! Pick it up. You gotta take them all away. Trash! Pick it up. Or put that life away. Trash!
All right, this is WCBN FM Ann Arbor, and this is It's Hot in Here.
And we're back with Darshan Karwat, who's going to tell us about a sort of amazing experiment that he's been doing. And, you know, over the last year, it's, you know, a lot of us try small things with sustainability. We try to increase our recycling or drive less, and, you know, we make small gains. Darshan just jumped right in and went for it. And I'm going to let him just sort of jump in here, start telling the story about his experiment with going trash free.
Well, I mean, I've always tried to do what I can, right? Everybody says, oh, I'm doing what I can. I've been involved in student activism on campus and trying to get, you know, have tried to get the university to change its behavior with the environment. But, you know, I listened to this show called The Story. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys yep. listen to it, best show on the radio. And, you know, there's a lot of shows about the environment, and people call in, or he interviews people that have wonderful experiences, life experiences. And there were a couple of stories about people trying to live trash free or sort of become aware of the trash that they generate. And I was, you know, working on my experiment one day, and this one story came up about this couple from England that have been doing it. And I was talking to my lab mate, Paul, and I said, you know, I should do this. And it sort of felt like a natural mm-hmm. thing to do, because, you know, there's always more that we can do.
Mm-hmm. What is and this?
What is this?
What is it?
Going
this?
Trashless. Going trashless.
Right.
That's what the whole show is about.
So, oh, I know, but I just don't know if we've actually said it yet.
Yeah. So the people in the stories that I listened to, they didn't include recyclables in the trash. I thought, well, I should include recyclables as well, because recycling, to me, is not the answer. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it is a bad process, you know, if you mm-hmm. think about what actually goes on to recycle things. And so I said, well, let's just cut it off. Cold turkey, you know, cut off trash. And so that sort of influences a lot of other things that you can do. So if you sort
cutting out everything that's like leaving your house in a bin, essentially.
Exactly. Okay. And so that sort of influences the choices that you make that create the trash.
But you're allowed to compost?
Yeah. So the only things I haven't considered trash are food scraps, soap, and toilet paper that goes down the toilet. Not you know, blowing my nose, whatever, you know, I'll just do that in the sink, or I have a handkerchief, whatever, mm-hmm. but, you know, toilet paper, you know what I mean, right? And so but even that, I feel, you know, like, man, I could deal without that.
Well, I mean, in
India,
you wipe with rocks.
I'm not that hard ass.
I've done it, literally.
But you know, in India, people don't use toilet paper, and so anyway,
we've been getting that for a long time.
So, I started on the 29th of March, 2010, and I sort of made that claim in my kitchen with my housemate Tim while he was there, and you know, since then I've in at the end of that year, so it was 29th of March 2011, I had accumulated about 7 pounds of trash. But so let me break it down. The only things that I gave myself concession on were the stickers off of fruits and the tops of the Calder Dairy milk bottles.
Right.
So the Calder Dairy milk bottles, you know, they reuse them. They don't recycle. You know, they wash them.
Right.
So I had about a half a pound of actual trash. So that includes those plastic tops and different experiences. You know, a lot of things sort of came out of love. Like, I accepted trash because mm-hmm. of the sentiments mm-hmm. that were involved in that experience. Mm-hmm. So half a pound of that. About 2-3 pounds of paper, you know, receipts, random things, and then about 4 pounds of broken glass. So a broken Pyrex dish and a broken Calder Dairy milk bottle. And So
these things, the moment they break, your heart is breaking, as you know they're heavy, and they're adding to, you know, these small trash bags you're keeping.
But basically it's all in my room, you know, and I see it, and I thought I'll do it for a year, but mm-hmm. you can't go back. There's no way to justify going back, whatever that means. And so
you should fire that trash up, the glass and the caps, and make an awesome like sculpture
Yeah, I have to turn that into art, man.
I've met
these bags. He's brought them into school before on a day I happened to run into you, and I called them trashy.
Trashy.
Trashy one and trashy two.
Trashy, yeah.
And I have to say, they have, like, there is a spiritual quality, because you know every single thing in these bags that almost have a life of their own. Like, there's a thought that's gone into why they're in that bag, or it was an accident, or there's a story behind everything that...
Pretty much everything I can trace back to an experience over the past year, except, you know, the fruits. I can, you know, I just eat fruits, but whatever. Yeah. But
oh, number 857.
Right.
So that was a really good one.
I was super hungry when I had that.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of curious to hear about some of the unintended things that happened as you went through this, like that, you know, that those bags would take on a life of their own, or.
Well, so there was one experience where I was, it was last summer, the World Cup was going on, and there is this guy, this old Romanian hardcore brute force engineer, old school engineer that works in our lab every now and then, and he came in one day, and I said, hey, are you going to watch the game today? And so, you know, because all the games are streaming, and he said, oh, which game? And I said, I think it was Germany-Serbia. I was like, oh, Germany-Serbia. And he says, all right, guys, no work today. We're watching the game. And he asked me, where's the nearest vending machine? I said, well, you know, just go down the stair, go down the hallway, go down the stairs, and there's a vending machine. He goes and he clears out the vending machine of potato chips. He just gets all of them, Ruffles, cheddar, cheese, potato chips, and he comes into the lab, you know, with a big box of them, and he basically is like Santa Claus handing out gifts. He's like, here you go, guys, you know, let's eat chips and watch the game. And so I couldn't say no. And so I took two bags of Ruffles chips, and I guess I enjoyed them and watched the game with my lab mates in my lab. Screw work, you know.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
There's that.
I was wondering if you could turn those bags into some sweet, like, fingerless gloves or maybe a hat or something. Once you got the grease out.
Now they could keep the hands nice and conditioned if it still had the grease on them.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like
it's
hand
like
lotion.
Hand treatment.
Yeah. Wear them
it's
at night.
Fancy.
And then, you know, another thing was, I said, well, I'm not going to buy anything new because there's a lot of trash that's associated with new things. And one of the sort of guiding things, or the things that I've sort of tried to always think about, is we have everything we need. We don't need more, you know. Mm-hmm. So, be satisfied, you know. And so not buying anything new has been one of the ways that I've reduced trash.
That actually worked out? Because I was just thinking, like, okay, you use a digital camera, it breaks. Like, do you just choose not to buy a new one?
I haven't really...
You go get a used one?
So the computer that I have is... I bought it before freshman year, so 2003. And it's, you know, it sounds like a jet engine taken off. You know, like a plane taken off every time I use it. But I really haven't turned it on in 4 or 5 months, really. And I just sort of, you know, I don't have a computer. Mm-hmm. Oh, well. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are computers everywhere else. I can use them if I need to, which I do, to write or whatever, email. But, I haven't felt compelled to buy another computer.
What about, like, pencils and things like that?
Right. Well, so I kind of had a pre-stash, right? But when I started off, I said, well, these are all the things that I have. Let's just... make use of them. Mm-hmm. But then you start looking when you're walking. Now I notice pencils everywhere on the ground. So when I'm on State Street or somewhere, there's just pencils everywhere and pens. And so, you know, they've been abandoned. I'll use them. But I haven't come to the point for a lot of things where I said, you know, I've had to get something new. So the toothbrush that I'm using... Yeah, it's pretty decrepit and old. but, I mean, yes, I guess a toothbrush is probably going to be something that I choose to buy. But, you know, if with the computer, which is sort of one thing that everybody sort of is obsessed with or, you know,
attached
they want to have attached to, it's always in your bag. I just sort of let go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a friendly tip from a friendly hippie. For brushing your teeth, don't go for the toothbrush. You can just get a dogwood branch.
Yeah. Okay.
And if you peel back the edge of the bark, and then whittle that around in your teeth.
Do you sort of chew on it before you have at it?
No. You can just just do it. I guess you could like loosen up the edge to like fray it a little bit, but
because that's what they do in India. Good. They use neem. Neem twig, and they chew on it, and then they use that. But
yeah, try that out before you go to CVS or something.
All right.
Like that.
I mean, there are dogwood trees everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what the lifetime supply American Dental Association has to say about that.
Can we get any call-ins?
We're gonna go get them on the phone, but let's listen to a tune while we do that. This is Fela Kuti with "Suffering and Smiling."
It's only a taste of our next release, "Suffering and Smiling." Africans, please listen to me as Africans, and you non-Africans, listen to me with open mind. Suffer for world, now your fault be that. Me I say, now your fault be that. Suffer for world, now your fault be that. Me I say, now your fault be that. You all to please take your minds out of this musical contraption and put your minds into any goddamn church, any goddamn mosque, any goddamn celestial, including Seraphim and Cherubim. We are all there now. Our minds are in those places. Here we go. Suffer for world.
Amen.
Enjoy for heaven.
Amen.
Christians go de yab.
Amen.
In spiritum heavenus.
Amen.
Muslims go de call.
Amen.
Allahu Akbar. Suffer for world.
Amen.
Enjoy for heaven.
Amen.
Christians go de yab.
Amen.
In spiritum heavenus.
Amen.
Muslims go, they call Allahu Akbar. Open your eye everywhere. Archbishop na miliki, Pope na enjoyment, Imam na gbaladun. Archbishop na miliki, Pope na enjoyment, Imam na gbaladun. Ra 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 ra.
Archbishop.
That was just a sample. That lovely tune to get us going. Great. Yeah, Tony Allen was just here in Ann Arbor, Fela's drummer. And I think most of us were there.
It was amazing.
I was there.
Yeah. Much respect for the guy. I loved before his last song, he said, you know, I just want to let you know this is the last song. I don't see any point in getting up and coming back and the whole thing. I'm just going to, I'm going to leave it at that. And much respect, you know. Yeah. If you made it that far, I think you can just do whatever you want. The theatrics of it just seemed kind of ridiculous.
Is that why he was drumming naked, too?
Oh, he was so close. Was he naked?
No, it was so
clearly, I need to get new glasses. Exactly, which rumor has it there was a this show was done naked once, which I was not involved in.
Is that true, Jeff? Yeah.
He looks really guilty.
Yeah. He's kind of smirking. Okay. So, Darshan, a question arises in my mind, how your experiment has shaped the way your friends are interacting with you, if you noticed a difference or if they've said things. Mm-hmm. This comes out of an example of wanting to share a ginger candy that's in a wrapper that then you would have to put with your, put this much less sort of commendable wrapper in with all your Calder Dairy milk jug caps and fruit stickers.
Well, honestly, I don't think there's been that much of a change in what we do. I mean, I guess what that means is before then, I don't think my life was much different than it is now. So, you know, I've never told anybody not to do something because of me. I mean, I don't want to hold people back from doing what they want to do, although it seems like it's led to just good conversation. But, you know, if people choose to go, you know, get fast food or something, which will involve trash, I'll tag along and say, I'm not going to partake. But, you know, don't feel bad. I mean, it's easy for me to say don't feel bad about it, especially if I'm there. But I think most people have sort of taken it in stride and just said, you know, this is what this person is doing. And they think about it more. I've definitely had people tell me, like, they are more observant and aware, and you know that's a wonderful first step, right?
I can kind of imagine like a ripple effect, like everywhere you go, the people who know what you're up to just sort of like are on better behavior just for like the time they're around you, at least because they're more aware and sensitive about it in those moments.
A lot of times I've gotten a lot of jokes about people saying, oh well, since he's not doing it, double for me, you know. You know, I'll make his trash, right? And so,
oh no,
yeah, and you know, that joke, or I don't know whether they're acting in seriousness, but that's been used a lot. You know, to me, it can get old, but whatever, right? I mean, I'm not gonna punch somebody because they're doing that, but you know, they say, oh well, you know, I'll have two of those because you know I'm just gonna make up for this dude. Well.
I mean, that sucks. It's kind of at the heart of a personal experiment, though. I mean, this is like really like you and your trash footprint that's on your mind. But I mean, also obviously what you can do to interface with the world regarding this experiment. But
I think a lot of times people have sort of viewed it as just trash, right? It's you know, it's trash. It's going to a landfill. There are a few hundred landfills in the country. If you think about the amount of trash that we generate, yeah, there's a fair amount of it, but it's, to me, it's not about the trash. There's more to it that sort of influence choices and also that have influences on other things like other toxic chemicals being released into waters or greenhouse gas emissions or whatever. I mean, trash is just a different manifestation of our choices. And greenhouse gases are a manifestation of our choices. Right. And trash is just another manifestation. And they both, you know, those two things stem from the same choices, right? I mean, the trash that comes out of producing some packaged food, well, there's greenhouse gas emissions that are going out somewhere. And there's trash that you can actually see. But by sort of trying to tackle something that you see, you can, you know, have influences on these other things that you can't see that aren't as tangible. So, you know, when you say no to trash, you're saying no to several things. And
say no to trash. I like
that. Yeah. Yeah, you're saying no to several things. Yeah. And so that's sort of been a way to deal with it, is just say no. It's just no.
I learned that in middle school. It was about drugs. How'd that work out? Wow. My mother's listening. Really well. Yeah.
Let's just say I gave the speech at my DARE graduation. Doing pretty well.
Exactly.
Drinking coffee, a legal drug. So much of our consciousness and thinking about trash simply ends when we throw it away or throw it in the bin and we never think about it. I'm proud when I'm recycling more than I'm throwing away in trash, but really that just means I'm drinking a lot.
Yeah. Exactly, right?
And, you know, buying a lot of books that are shipped in cardboard or something like that.
Yeah,
you should really rethink that.
You know, it really makes me think, like, you want to have a rule of thumb for environmental issues. I think we all want. We want to just, you know, you buy local or you recycle, and it's so easy just to, like, land on that. But it's so much more complicated if you take it to the level where I think, like, this experiment that Darshan's doing, you can't just say, like, okay, great, all recycling's good.
Right.
All local is good.
Right, right. And I think, you know, it's always... there are always easy things that we can do, but a lot of times, if you sort of think about your choices, they are more complicated. You know, like the choices that I make that result in trash are defining of me and of culture, right? And so it can, in some sense, get overwhelming, but I try not to let that deter me, or when I talk to other people, not let that deter other people.
Speaking of talking to other people.
Yes. So we wanted to see if Darshan's friends who've been with him through this experiment are what they have to say about it. So I think we've got someone on the line here.
I think we should do that, but I think we should listen to a bit of a song that Darshan requested we play. Do you want to introduce it? I can...
Which one?
This is the I was made for sunny days.
I was made for sunny days. And today is a sunny day. It is. It's sunny above the clouds, right?
Man,
it's a sunny day.
I really admire your attitude.
It's sunny day. It's
so
a sunny
much
day.
This is It's Hot in Here, and this is WCBN FM Ann Arbor.
And we are here today with Darshan Karwat talking about his experiment to go trash-free for a year. And we've got his friend on the line. We wanted to hear some stories from people who have been with him.
Live from the front lines of being Darshan's friend.
Yes.
It's a battlefield out there. You take a risk.
All right. Are you with us?
Hello.
Hi. Is this Sonali?
Yes,
Sonali. Did I say that right? Oh, great. Welcome.
Thanks. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine. Thanks for joining us. So please share your story. We want to hear.
Well, I guess I met Darshan about a month or two ago, mm-hmm. and I walked into class, and there was this gangly Indian kid sitting in my seat.
And probably wearing a scarf.
He was there to talk about his journey of being waste-free. And just hearing his story, I think everybody in the whole class was just, you know, like minds open, just in awe of what he was able to do. And we all really care about the environment, but this is somebody that really cares about the environment. And I don't know, he was so humble in the way he spoke about everything he did. And all of us, you know, it was as if he was like an Olympian celebrity in our classroom, because it takes so much talent and like open-mindedness to go through the whole year like that. And I think we were all just super impressed.
Yeah. Do you want to respond to that experience, Darshan? Just the talking to groups? Because I know you do a lot of it. Yeah.
Thanks, Sonali. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's not a... Anyway, I don't know. Well, yeah, I mean, it sort of having these conversations with people, I realize you can converse, and there is a way that you can convince people that their choices are important. And so this whole thing has sort of been about individual action in facing large problems, right? And I think it's absolutely essential that we not be overwhelmed by the scale of the problems ahead of us, but each one of us can make choices that will hopefully guarantee a better world tomorrow, right? So, I mean, you know, I don't know, Sonali, have you sort of thought about it in your day-to-day experiences?
Changes, behavior changes, of course.
Yeah, so any examples?
I think the biggest one has to do with how I talk about your journey and your story to my roommates constantly. And at first they would poke fun at me and joke and be like, why are you saving all these jars? Why don't you just recycle it? Or I started shopping at the food co-op because you talked about that, and I get their glass milk carton, like, jars, and my roommates think it's ridiculous. But slowly they started to kind of become more accustomed to that, and you know, they stopped laughing when I bring Tupperware to Chipotle with me, or you know, I'm really anal about what they recycle and what they don't recycle. And I think once, you know, it's when I first started sort of talking about this, and I was so excited, and they just thought I was going through a phase and being crazy. But the fact that I've sort of stuck with it, and I keep nagging them about things, that you know, they start to see the importance of it and that it's important to me, and I think they respect us.
That's really cool. So you've tried to take on some piece of this experiment yourself, it sounds like.
Yeah, to the best of my abilities.
Yeah.
But I think we're all capable. I mean,
this is true.
We're absolutely all capable. We are all empowered to make these choices. It's just whether
I totally lied. Not the best of my abilities. To the small beginning of my abilities.
I like that.
Life is a process.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
All the time. Yeah. Well, wow, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you for having me. I should get back to class.
And get some, go do some learning.
Huh? Yeah, be inspired.
Great.
Bye.
Thanks, Sonali.
Of course. Bye.
Well, in relation to that positive story, we're going to listen to the song Positive Now by Michael Franti of Spearhead.
Wet till I'm wet till I'm dry, but then wipe this tear from my eye. Haven't even felt this warm in a long time, even out in the bright sunshine, in a lifetime of springtime. I fall into your arms and my heart pumping on like a bubbling dub track, like a garlicky hot till my lips smack. an impetus for me to rethink this. If I love you, then I better get tested. Make sure we are protected. I walk through the park, just like a question mark heart. I hear my memory bark in the back of my brain, making me insane, like cocaine. But how am I gonna live my life if I'm positive? Is it gonna be a negative? Or how am I gonna live my life if I'm positive? But how am I gonna live my life if I'm positive? Is it gonna be a negative? But how am I gonna live my life if I'm positive? It dawned on me, it seemed to me that this is a usual scene. This red light greenery made me feel kinda dreamery, thinking how I used to be. Arrive at the clinic and walk through the front door. I take a nervous number, then I'm thinking some more about all the times that I neglected, making sure that I was protected. They took my blood with an anonymous number. 2 weeks, waiting, one. Should've done this a long time ago. A lot of excuses why I couldn't go. I know these things and these things I must know, but it's better to know than to not know. But how am I gonna live my life if I'm positive? Is it gonna be a negative? Or how am I gonna live my life if I'm positive?
All right. Well, your experience and experiment, Darshan, has been spreading through the amazing tools of learning.
Beautiful.
And not, and we're not just talking about all of you at home and in your cars and in your jobs working, etc. right now.
We just had Sonali on the line, who was from a class that Darshan spoke in, and we've got another student in that class, Patrick, who is now on the line. And we want to just talk about what this class is up to right now, since these students have been really inspired by Darshan's experiment.
Right. So I got an email a few weeks ago from Professor Victoria Johnson, who's a professor in organizational studies, and she was interested in sort of sharing my experience in her, I think it's the sociology of organizations and the environment, something like that. And so she wanted to look at the scale of actors that are involved in, you know, the things that influence the environment. So you can go from, micro individual all the way to sort of government, international, you know, whatever. And so she got in touch with me, we met up, and I showed up to class. And it turns out now that the class is doing, everybody in the class is working on this project. So their final term papers and everything that they're doing, they're sort of relating the experiences that I've had and that other people have had to everybody else. So they're making a website about it. But also their papers are on different issues that have sort of come up over the year. So things regarding recycling and culture and behavior and food, whatever. And so one person is looking at each one of those from a micro perspective, and another one is looking at it from a sort of macro perspective.
Oh, beautiful.
And so Sonali is looking at the culture and behavioral part of it, and Patrick is working on that as well.
Do we have Patrick on the line here?
Yep.
All right. Hi, Patrick. Welcome.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi for having me on. Hey, Darshan.
So do you want to, let's just sort of dive into it. Do you want to maybe talk about the day that we spent together, both on North Campus and on Central, you know, what your thoughts were?
Not using trash.
That. Yeah.
Not generating trash.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent at the campus and...
Patrick, we're having a difficult time hearing you, unfortunately. I'm not sure.
You must be on a cell phone.
Who isn't these days?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes,
okay, yes. Okay. Yes, now we can hear you. Go ahead. Can you start over?
Yep, so we started in the cafeteria at Pure Point Commons, and we just kind of sat back and looked at its behaviors, and we, take
Patrick, we're sorry. Every other word is cutting off.
It was soon going to be to have any...
Oh, sad.
We're having a hard time hearing you. Are you in a place where you have better...
There's really trashy reception.
yeah.
All right.
You're starting to sound
better. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Okay. Okay. Go.
Okay.
Go.
All sorry. Right. Yeah, that was trashy reception.
Yeah.
So, we went to Pure Point Commons, which is the North Campus Student Union. Mm-hmm. And we sort of just sat back and looked at students' behaviors. And we noticed that styrofoam and plastic was being used sort of without any real cognition or understanding of where it was headed. And, you know, I sort of would ask the question, you know, can we carry around our waste? Can we carry around our waste for a day, for a week, for a month? And what would that look like? And so, you know, Darshan, he didn't take a tray, and he didn't use any cutlery. And he looked at me and was asking if I wanted to use any silverware. And I didn't really have the audacity to say yes. I wasn't really familiar with that, so I just took one fork. But that was just amazing to see him, because he thinks about the minor impact that he can have, whether that's the water that's being used for the silverware to clean the tray. And that's amazing, because a lot of people can't see that. Am I still on?
Yeah, go ahead. You want to talk about the discussion that we had with my lab mates, maybe, and your experience in the lab?
Yeah, and so I heard you guys talking about this a little earlier. It was very interesting to see the discussion and to see how his friend's behavior changed, because, you know, as our son alluded to earlier, his friend's behavior didn't really change much. One of his friends said, yeah, I just produce twice as much to sort of combat any effort that Darshan's trying to make. Whether it was a joke or it was for real, it was kind of, you could see that it really hurt Darshan in a sense, because this isn't something that's funny to him. He's seriously trying to make an impact. In his lab, it was interesting because he's a graduate aerospace engineering student, or doctoral engineering student, and he's in an environment that is extremely wasteful and a workplace that is environmentally degrading. And so to see this individual who's trying to live a trash-free life in that environment, and when I ask questions about, you know, is it hard for you to be in this environment and doing research, you can tell that he kind of took it personally, and that he does have a very strong passion for what he's doing. And he says, yes, it is very hard, and I constantly am thinking about my actions in the lab. And so that was my experience in the lab with Darshan.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, that's an interesting point, right, because he's taking such an extreme personal action, but it's also in a way Darshan, you're working on both this individual and like a higher level, because your research is environmental and could have tremendous impacts with what you're doing despite the day-to-day waste in the lab, right? So you yourself are working on numerous levels, and I'm sure you have to, in your mind, hop between those.
I have to hop between them, and I have to reconcile that in my mind. And, you know, day-to-day, I will admit that it's hard. You know, sometimes I just always want to question myself. And I think that's probably one of the things, is always question, what am I doing? What's the impact that's being made? And, you know, the lab is a very positive environment. I really enjoy going there and working there. But it does sort of, you know, also raise questions that I do have time, a hard time dealing with that. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah, no doubt.
But, you know, I have to sort of do what I can. I don't know. Yeah.
It's okay to just sit with the questions and not worry about the answers on this one. Yeah. Well, Patrick, thank you so much for sharing your experiences hanging out with Darshan. I really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Patrick.
All right, take care.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.
Yes.
All right. Bye-bye.
And in honor of Darshan's deep thoughts working in the lab and our co-host Kat Superfisky, who is about to work it all over an engineering exam, this is Missy Elliott with the tune Work It.
DJ, please pick up your phone. I'm on the request line.
See you next.
This is a Missy. Work it. I put my thing down, flip it and reverse it. It's your primitive, it's wet and yet. It's your primitive, it's wet and yet. If you got a big, let me search it to find out how hard I gotta work. Yeah, it's your primitive.
miss it, she too much for me.
I'm freaky.
Took me to the crib, man, she told me.
Eat me.
Now my baby mama told her ass not to beat me. Her broke ass wanna fight, missing out the treat. She's sitting on cash, she got money out the ass. She's giving them back shots and got money out the ass. Now you can see me in the coupe like, whoa. Next time I hit a head at G5 truck, I got the magic stick, I can go for hours. From the bed to the floor, to the sink, to the shower. With a back to the bed and a legs to the sky. I can go hard, know why? Big girls don't cry. I have visions of Missy with the money by the tub.
Ching, ching.
Jackpot, I think I'm in love. I'm looking for Missy now so I can get my back, bro. It's the shit she hollered in my ear before we left the club.
I like to get to know ya so I can show ya. Put the pussy on ya like I told ya. Give me all your numbers so I can phone ya. Your girl acting stink, then call me over. Not on the bed, lay me on your sofa. Call before you come, I need to shave my chocha. You do or you don't or you will or won't ya. Go downtown and eat it like a vulture.
Oh, Missy. She's working it. Her and her companions.
All right, and we're working it today. We're working the trash conversation with Darshan. So, you know, we've been talking about a lot of the sort of, you know, the feelings and sort of the technicalities of your experiment. I'm just curious, you know, what's your vision of trash in society? Like, you've had a very visceral experience on a personal level, and I also know you blog about this, and we should give your blog address here in a moment.
We should be just broadcasting it across the trashless sky.
Yeah. Yes.
The whole show.
People need to hear what you're up to. So what is the blog address here?
Minimizingentropy.blogspot.com.
That's it. So you'll see some really thoughtful conversations from guest bloggers and Darshan himself. But, you know, so here's this question. What is your vision of trash in society?
Well, I don't know. Ideally, we would live in a trash-free world. Right. But it's interesting to me, it seems like we've structured all of our interactions around the generation of trash and waste and
so
degradation.
Those interactions are really positive, right? We share food together, we share things,
right.
But they're having these negative consequences.
And so it sort of depends on, I mean, I got into a whole debate about anthropocentrism versus biocentrism, you know, and so what is it that we're really striving to do? You know, I mean, if you think about a cell phone or something, we're really good at producing a lot of waste and environmental degradation to make something small, like a cell phone.
Which you then ought to replace at least once a year. Maybe every 2 years if you're...
Right. And so, you know, the average statistic is very, you know, vague, hand-wavy, but it takes about 75 to 100 kilograms of raw material to make this cell phone that's sitting right here in front of me. And
This
weighs just a few. Oh, I should have used pounds. I'm sorry, I'm an engineer.
Kilograms are way huger than pounds, people. That's all. That's my scientific opinion.
Thank you.
I mean, we're just really good at wasting. And in fact, it seems to me that a lot of our societal benefit is in some way related to the amount of trash that we produce, or like our, you know, your upper class, you can sort of think about that. Like a lot of upper class, middle to upper class people produce a lot of trash, and that's what sort of defines their socioeconomic status. How much trash can you produce?
And related to the consumption of a lot of convenience,
right?
Kind of
exactly, product. Exactly. Yeah. So it's sort of it's a different way to think about it.
But I mean, it's definitely hugely a cultural question,
right?
I mean, what you're posing here.
And one of the guiding questions is, what would our world look like, or what would my social interactions look like without trash? And how, I mean, it's very vague and it's very overwhelming to think about it, but those are the questions that are sort of keeping me going. Like, what do I need to change with my interaction with you, Chan, or Laura, and, you know, the person that I'm going to meet on the street, such that I don't, what do I have to change? Such that there's no trash being generated, or no environmental, trash as a metaphor of environmental degradation. So it's interesting, actually, the way that I sort of dealt with it is preparedness. And so let me explain that a little bit more. A lot of times, a lot of our trash actually comes out of preparedness. So I'm going to be hungry this afternoon. Let me carry around a granola bar, so that when I'm hungry, I can eat this granola bar. So you have that packaging. But in order to combat that, I've sort of had to become prepared for the sort of things that might come up during the day. So if I do choose to go to a restaurant or eat something, I need to be aware that lady or that server or whoever, it could be a guy, will put a straw in my water, mm-hmm. right? So
it's preemptive sort of, in some ways.
Right, so it's dealing with the preparedness that leads to trash. You have to be prepared to deal, you know, mm-hmm. it's kind of preparedness is it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're prepared in ways to generate trash, but to combat that, you need to be prepared not to generate trash.
So it's sort of an unlearning and then a relearning. Right. Something else.
Exactly.
Entirely exactly. different.
So, you know, carry around a water bottle. I mean, that's a very simple act if you think mm-hmm. about it, but it's sort of a way of being prepared,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep. So I love ending on this more positive note about right. trash generation in terms right. of the sort of personal agency and things that we can
yes.
do. And
right.
I'm just really curious because we only have a few minutes left here. It's, you know, this next experiment. So you tried sort of this really dramatic thing over the last year. Any plans to do something new or different or?
Well, so I'm starting something already, and it's called Traveling at Home. And to me, the reasons why we produce trash or why trash exists in our world are the very same reasons that we choose to travel. You know, to me, trash has a spatial component mm-hmm. and a temporal component. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. You know, I can be in Ann Arbor and choose to have food from India, which is where I grew up. And that results in trash. So there's that sort mm-hmm. of spatial dimension to it. And there's a temporal dimension. I'm in Michigan. Tomatoes are available in summer, but I want a tomato in the winter.
Yeah.
You have canned tomatoes. And mm-hmm. so there's mm-hmm. trash that's being sort of generated in the place, but you wanting to be in a different time,
right?
And so the same thing with travel. I can choose not to appreciate where it is that I am and say, oh, Chicago's always better than Ann Arbor mm-hmm. or whatever, or I want to go to D.C. or I want to go to Peru, whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's a spatial component to that. Mm-hmm. And temporally, it's winter right now. It's snowing in April. I want to be in Florida.
It's kind of amazing right? just that it's existing.
right? and so, you know, I'm not fully appreciative of the time that it is I'm in. Mm-hmm. And so there's a temporal... So
appreciate
to me,
the snow today, people.
There's trash and travel to me, in my mind, are the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sort of working on this thing where I've given myself a 25-mile radius, and I'm just going to go explore different places in the area and understand why people appreciate, you know, if people appreciate the places that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we're appreciative of where we are, I can be satisfied with where I am. Mm-hmm. I don't need the new computer. I don't need the new cell phone. I'm satisfied mm-hmm. with what it is that I have. Same thing with travel. If I'm satisfied with Southeast Michigan, I'm happy here, I'm talking to wonderful friends, I'm having a good time,
mm-hmm.
well, that may change your travel habits or something. Mm-hmm. So that's something I'm working on right now.
Wanting what you have where you are. I love it.
It's
I love
beautiful.
It. So we'll have you back for another talk about this experiment and the things that you've been learning.
That's fascinating.
And hearing
from
people.
As a lady who travels. Mm-hmm. Not out of an unhappiness for snow in April necessarily, but
that's okay. We'll let it slide.
Part of my own trashy work. Yes.
Wow. I'm sorry the show is over. I know. Time's up.
Thank you so much.
Twice. Thank you. What an inspiration you've really been to everyone who's heard about your project, and probably it caused a lot of people to think at least twice about their trash.
Yeah, I